I'm Jess.
And I'm Jen. We're just two run-of-the-mill casting directors looking to have a little fun while tearing down the curtain on casting, the process, and how the sausage gets made.
So many misconceptions have come from outside sources, so we're here to clear the air and make sure everyone gets a full picture of all that goes into casting your favorite TV shows and films. All the while, we'll be drinking some amazing cocktails and spilling the tea on some of the most outrageous stories we've come across in our careers.
Maybe we'll even bring on a few exciting guests along the way.
Cheers! Cheers.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Tipsy Casting. Thank you all again for tuning in this week. We are so excited to have another agent on the show. This week, we have an amazing agent from independent artist group, Sasha Passero, and we're so excited to be the ones who popped her podcast cherry.
Sasha is an alumna of Sarah Lawrence College, where she earned her bachelor's degree in liberal arts. Sasha began her career working in production and casting and later worked at Killer Films, an innovative artist. She is currently the VP of Talent at Independent Artist Group, formerly known as APA, where she represents artists of the screen and the stage.
Outside of the entertainment industry, Sasha's greatest passion is animal welfare, and she volunteers with several dog rescue organizations, which is something I actually wish I knew before. This was news to me, but I really wish we talked a little bit about that in her episode.
I know, we missed out on it. She has two beautiful dogs that I believe she rescued. That one made an appearance in the video of the podcast. She was sitting in the back of her office in one of her chairs. But yeah, I wish we would have known. Sorry, Sasha, we didn't ask you about that.
We were very focused on getting the good information for everybody. But how long have you known Sasha?
That is a great question. I would say at least 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say we just recently, I would say probably since I moved to London, because she covers Europe for her agency, that she comes here quite a bit. So probably became better friends since I moved here in the last year and a half or so. So we've had lots of good fun hangouts whenever she's here.
I feel like I haven't known her for that long. It's been a handful of years, but not quite the decade that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I think more when I started really doing a lot of indie film, when I became my own entity, that we started connecting more and more because she covers indie, or at least, I don't know. I always thought there's two, maybe three agents at that agency, including Barry McPherson, who's the tip top of the new, both sides of it, I think, that they read everything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I always laugh because I'm friends with Barry on Facebook and all he posts is stacks of scripts that he has to read.
I know. I love that he's so old school still of just of having the actual scripts. But no, I really enjoy Sasha, especially she's such a hustler. And when she's covering it, so it's you get really great coverage. But also she's a delightful human being, which you'll all hear very soon.
Yeah.
It's always a good time.
Yeah. I honestly, she's just one of those people that even when we were chatting to her, one, I feel like she reminds me a lot of myself. I don't know if you get that vibe. It's just very similar. I think that's why we get along, because we're very both quite blunt, but also very positive and no matter what. And I just, I've worked with her. I mean, it's funny because I've hired her clients for years. It's always a fun time. Yeah. So I'm really glad she came on because her and I have been talking about it for a long time. I asked her to come on last season, but she was busy with a lot of awards stuff with Lily. And so I think it's really awesome that she finally was able to come on and kind of share her experience. And I think she gives out a lot of good tips. APA / Independent Artist Group, it was always that kind of mid-level agency that is good for people to know how you kind of get in there and what they're looking for and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite fascinating.
Yeah. And for reference point, Lily that she's talking about, she represents Lily Gladstone and she's been representing her for quite some time now. We talk a bit about that and it's very exciting to see.
Yeah. It was funny because Sasha and I were both in Cannes last year, but I didn't see her because she literally was in press the entire time. And so we kept texting her being like, where are you? Can we grab a drink? And she's like, I literally have not seen the outside of a hotel room in a week.
Oh my goodness.
So wow. We didn't even get to see each other. And we were both, I kept walking past the hotel that she was in and it was funny, but.
Yeah. We're really excited to share her perspective and her stories. We learned a lot about her and her process in this episode. So,
and the fact that she comes from a casting family, which is always very exciting. So let's dive in. So grab a cocktail
or a mocktail
and enjoy. Hello. Welcome to the show, Sasha. How are you today?
I'm so good. Thank you guys for having me.
We're so excited that like this is also your first podcast ever. So we're excited to be the first.
Ever. Yes.
Pop in the cherry. It looks like you're in your office. So I don't know if you are having a drink today, but if you are you just drinking a water? Are you allowed?
I have a very lovely passion fruit tea here, which is spilling all Yes, I figured it was a little earlier in the day to start drinking, but you never know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're almost to 5 o'clock.
Yeah. We're going to blow your mind right now because it's 1:30 for me and I decided to go for a Angry Orchard cider.
Always a good decision.
I love it. I'm back to my tried and true, but in our cute little glass, that is the Cote de Rhone red wine.
Oh, that's so cute.
I drink it a lot, especially these days.
Mm-hmm. One of my former colleagues actually left this bottle of vodka here and I just had it sitting up in my cupboard for a year. So maybe today's the day I break it out.
There you go. A little added into the tea.
We'll see how this goes.
Awesome. Well, we would love to just like dive in with you. And like, first of all, we want to find out how you got into the industry and how you became an agent. Like, what's your path?
Oh my gosh. Okay. We're just getting into it.
Diving in.
It's not like a super exciting story. You guys, I think, might know my dad's a casting director. So this has been my whole life. We moved to LA when I was young and everyone that I knew was in the industry. So I didn't even know there was anything outside of the industry. Like all of my friends were in it. All of their parents were in it. They would shoot movies and TV shows at my schools and it was just like normal. And then I actually went to school to maybe be a writer. And I sort of fell into the film program. And when I graduated, it was the recession. So there weren't a ton of jobs. And I moved back to LA because I came to New York for school. Moved back to LA and immediately got a job in the mailroom at an agency, Innovative. And I thought, you know, look, whatever I'm going to do in this business, starting in a mailroom, starting at an agency is going to be great training. It's going to be a great foundation for whatever I decide to do. And it was. But from there, it just, yeah. Things happened and spiraled and I wound up just loving representation. You know, I come from a family of actors also, so I think I have a lot of respect and empathy for what they do and it just felt super natural.
That's crazy. I did not know your dad was a casting director, to be honest. I had no idea.
That probably gives you a great appreciation for the casting process as well.
You know, it really does because agents and casting directors don't always have the best relationships. And actually growing up, I never wanted to be an agent because I was like, oh, this is the casting side, it's a good side, you know, where this is like where the, you know, exciting stuff is happening and being the buyer and not the seller. And like I said, kind of fell into agenting and ended up just loving it. So I have so much respect for casting directors. I think a lot of agents, especially nowadays, kind of just want to like go around casting directors a lot of the time. And I think what you guys do is so integral to the process and so vital. And my relationship with casting directors are what I'm so proud of. And you guys are like my friends too. So it's good.
I think it's also like just in our work experience, yours and mine together, I feel like you're someone, I think there's very few people in this industry that have a hunger for that engagement and that connection. And so I feel like whenever you call me, I'm like, oh, Sasha's calling me, you know, because I know it's gonna be for a really intentional reason. And I really appreciate that versus the experience that I'm having right now is that I'm getting a lot of calls and like people are trying to bulldoze me versus just respecting the response because it's obviously coming from a place of knowledge, not from ego, you know?
Yeah. And you guys are the ones speaking daily to the directors and conveying their vision, their message. I just think it would be silly to not get your take on things.
Yeah. My favorite thing is when an agent will pitch somebody to us and we're like, no, not really right. You know, whatever, you know, moving on. And then they'll go to the producer, or the studio exec or somebody and pitch them. And then they like then CC us back in. And they're like, oh, just seeing the casting director, they'll decide. It's always makes me chuckle a little bit. And it happens so much that I'm like, guys, not with you, of course.
No. Yeah. I mean, I will say for a lot of agents like myself, my clients are like my babies. I care about them so much and I think they can do anything. So you want to fight for your clients and you want to make sure that you're selling them adequately. But at the end of the day, like we have to have a trust also in that we're on the same page.
Yeah. Speaking of which, your client, you have Lily Gladstone, correct?
There she is right there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. She's down in the corner.
I have to hang those up.
Congratulations to you both.
Yeah.
That's a huge run she just had and it's super exciting.
It was incredible. Just so proud of her. And I don't even have the words. It's been an incredible experience.
How long have you been repping her?
I think it's going to be 8 years. We met at Sundance, my favorite place. She was starring in this movie called Certain Women by Kelly Reichardt and the rest is history.
That's amazing. And at least forward facing, we always see the red carpet, right? We see when they're having their moment. But I'd love to hear what that journey was like for her also, you know, that trajectory to get to this moment.
Well, I think her journey is actually very representative and indicative of kind of the way that I like to work, which is with a lot of intentionality. She's a very authentic person and we both are very drawn just toward like good material. And she's consistently worked on incredible material, both on screen, on television and films, but also in theater. You know, when I met her, she was doing a lot of theater and continued to do like really, you know, top-notch theater. And then just like one incredible independent film after the other. We were back at Sundance, I want to say like every other year. It felt like a lot of Sundances.
Wow.
We were there last year with Fancy Dance, which is going to be coming out hopefully in the next couple of months, which is an incredible, incredible film. But just leaning toward working with good filmmakers and good material. And obviously this role and project that came about that has garnered her, you know, all of this current recognition kind of came out of that same process. And you just never, it's just like a testament that you just never know what's going to be the thing that changes the conversation.
Did she read for that role or did they see her in like some of these other things and kind of find her that way?
It was sort of a combination. Renee Haynes, who is incredible, as I'm sure you guys know, absolutely phenomenal casting director, who is such a champion for actors, had cast her in Certain Women. Scorsese had seen that film, and Renee introduced her work to Ellen Lewis, who brought her in to read. She read a couple of times, actually, and the character and the script, as you guys might have heard, changed several times throughout the process. Eric Roth ended up rewriting the entire script and re-triggering the story quite a bit. Her character was pretty tertiary in the first draft, a little bit closer to the book. And then they all sort of realized that her and Leo's story was really the centerpiece and just changed the script to focus on that. So then she got the new sides and they were completely different. And she read with Ellen and then she met with Marty and Leo.
Wow. What a journey.
Yeah. And again, that's one that I really credit Renee and Ellen, just incredible, incredible casting directors who are so actor friendly.
I think also because like Ellen's been doing his stuff since the jump, I'm pretty sure. And so I think the fact that he has so much trust in her and that, you know, she has such a strong connection with other casting directors that she works with, it really shows itself on screen for sure.
I mean, how intimidating though to be thrown into a room with Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio. I think I would probably shit myself. I'm not going to lie.
You know, I think if she wasn't the incredibly grounded person that she is, might have done that to lesser actors.
It's probably why she got the role, because I think you have to be a force, you know, because you look at all of what they do together, Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio, and it's like they all have these like massive stars next to them who were probably unfazed by that situation. So for someone who's relatively not a movie star at this point before this to go in and hold your own is, I mean, speaks wonders of her talent and abilities and confidence, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, she's mentioned this in several interviews and stuff. And I think it's such a good lesson to actors of all levels. But she talks about like, you know, being nervous on the first day and realizing that they all were nervous too. So, you know, everyone gets those first day jitters. Everyone wants to do their best work on a project. So it just is a real lesson to remember that everyone's feeling the same way at the end of the day.
Yeah. That's incredible. I'm curious just because obviously you have a great eye. Like, what do you look for? Like, what are the qualities that are important to you
when you're looking at actor materials or meeting them for the first time? What does that look like for you?
You know, I always tell people there's no formula, right? There's no like checklist that I'm, you know, looking for and like, oh, you check all the boxes, that kind of thing. I always trust my gut in terms of talent. There's something, and I'm sure you guys feel this too, there's something that's very intangible in what sparks us. You know, I'm from New York. I grew up in the theater. So theater is always something that's been incredibly important to me. So like when I'm seeing a play or a musical, for example, something can just spark in me when I see someone and I feel like A, they're amazing. But as we know, that's not always enough. So it's like A, they're amazing. And then B, do I think that I can add something to their career? Do I think that we would be a good fit for each other? So there's, you know, a lot of criteria that come into play. So many actors are so incredible, but I am very realistic about whether or not I am the best person to represent them. And if, you know, if I feel like I can really bring something to the table, like it's really a two-way street. So I know that's kind of a vague answer, but it's kind of an intangible thing. And, you know, we all have different tastes too. So I might see something with a colleague and they might love someone and I might love someone else. So it's really a matter of taste.
Yeah, but I think that that's pretty consistent of like it just being an instinctual thing. Like that's the same thing for us as well. When you're in the room and you feel that magnetic energy, and that's, you know, part of the crappy part of the self-tape space that we're, or even the Zoom space that we're in right now. But like when you see it in that moment and you're like, it has to be this, you know? And so I can totally appreciate that.
Do you guys sign by committee there, or do you get to sign somebody solely based on your opinion because you're amazing at it?
No, we absolutely sign by committee. It doesn't have to be unanimous, but it is very democratic because, as you guys know, we all break things up by territory. So for example, if we represent someone and they're only being really pitched in certain territories, it just doesn't work. Everyone really has to be on board. That being said, you know, I work with an incredible group of people who really trust each other and trust each other's taste. So if someone's really passionate about someone, we can usually, you know, get it through.
Finagle your way.
Yeah. But it, you know what, if we can't, then again, we realize, okay, well then that's not, you know, it's not the right fit for us because they should be with someone where everyone is on board.
Yeah. I don't think we said it out loud, but you're at independent artist groups. I'm just curious because obviously this is formerly APA. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just curious, obviously there was a merger, there was a new title, all those things. Has the dynamic of what you do changed in any way since becoming a larger company?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I think every company is always striving toward the future and striving to be better than they were, you know, the year before. So I don't think we're unique in that, but I do think we've been aggressive in it, sort of maybe starting with hiring, I don't want to say most, but a lot of the staff of ICM. And then, you know, with merging with Artist Group International, an absolutely incredible music agency. And they brought over, you know, everyone from Billy Joel to Motley Crue to my favorites, Norah Jones, Regina Spektor, like just the most incredible people. And they're such an incredible group of people as well. So it's been so exciting to have them here. But yeah, I mean, with those two things, we've absolutely been striving to be a bigger and better agency for our talent. But that being said, we're the same. We have the same ethos, which is we represent artists. We're not a media company. We're something else. We really are in this to represent amazing artists as best as we can and to make outgoing phone calls.
We love those outgoing phone calls.
Yeah. I literally thought you were going to say, and make the world a better place.
I mean, that's a given. That's a given.
So has it changed how you, do you guys like do crossover clients more so now because of that merge, or is it?
Yeah, absolutely. But again, I think that that's something that everyone has to be doing these days. The world and our industry have just continue to shrink and become more crossing over is happening in general. More and more artists are becoming multi-hyphenates, which is really exciting for us because, you know, now I get to work with my colleagues in other departments and learn about other areas of the business that I maybe wasn't as well versed in before. You know, I have clients who are writing pilots and features and clients who are, you know, touring musicians as well. So everyone kind of does a little bit of everything. But I wouldn't say it's really changed my job description so much. much. I would just say it's become, you know, every day it just becomes a little bit more 360.
That's awesome. So has, we love to always ask agents this question, has any actors ever done anything crazy to get your attention, to try to get you to sign them? Not that we're endorsing anything crazy, but...
You know, I wouldn't say like too crazy. I get just a countless amount of DMs on Instagram. So that I feel like that's just kind of unprofessional. It's not crazy, but you know, it's a little unorthodox. So that is like, okay, whatever. And then there's the, this is why I don't always like when I'm out and about in the real world, as it were. I don't always tell people what I do because once they find out, it's like, oh, my nephew is just amazing. Oh my God. He has the most incredible face and voice and this, and can I give you his number? And I'm like, oh, sweet Lord, you know? So, I mean, that kind of stuff, but I don't think like crazy. That would be a fun story to have though.
We're not encouraging anybody to do anything crazy for Sasha.
Yeah, please don't.
Her life is exciting as it is. So no need. Yeah. I am curious though, like what are you watching these days? Like what are your guilty pleasures? What are the things that you're obsessed with? Tell us everything.
So I'm actually like a humongous nerd. I don't know if you guys know this.
No.
Yeah, I'm a big nerd. Like I love Harry Potter.
That's not nerd. That Harry, I will not qualify Harry Potter lovers as nerds because I am also one.
Okay, good. I have a Harry Potter tattoo. Do you have a Harry Potter tattoo?
No, but I don't have any tattoos. So it's less about the Harry Potter.
I've thought about it. I'm not going to lie. Okay.
Jen, didn't I like drag you to a Harry Potter like shop in London, or was that someone else?
No, it was somebody else. I think you told me about it though.
I probably did.
But I took her to the one in London.
Yeah.
The Mina Lima one or a different one? Because there is like a couple.
Oh, there's like four or five.
And trust me, if there is one around, I will find it. Back to your question of what I'm currently watching. So on that nerddom note, I love like kind of sci-fi stuff like that. Like I think probably my favorite show of the last year was Silo. I really like that one. I love like Foundation, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, you know, all that stuff.
I haven't seen Silo, but all the other ones I'm definitely down for.
And of course, anything that my clients are in.
Yeah, obviously. Of course.
Well, yes. Are you a reality TV kind of gal?
No, I actually don't watch reality TV at all. I never have, except for during COVID, everyone was like, you have to watch Love is Blind. So I watched that and now I'm back to my never watching reality TV. You know what? Look, it's different strokes for different folks. Obviously, it has a massive audience, but it's just not something I can get behind or relate to. And I get a lot of shit for it from my colleagues who all love it. They're always talking about, oh my God, now they're all talking about Traitors now. And I'm like,
I am more of like a skill based. So like, I love Dancing with the Stars because it's like you actually get to see someone's improvement, and I love dancing, not to do it but to watch. But I got sucked into Love is Blind, but it's actually perfect because my director and producer are obsessed with it.
Really?
So now I actually have something to talk about. Oh yeah, like literally the day after the finale they were like, did you watch the reunion, did you watch the finale? Like it was everything, and I was
obsessed with it.
I'm here for this.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm missing out on like some major like social lubricant by not watching reality TV, but c'est la vie.
Yeah.
You've got many hours added to your day, so yeah. You're fine.
I will actually say, I don't know if this counts, but one of my favorite shows is Jeopardy. I guess that's like reality TV, right?
Oh.
I love a good game show. I like Family Feud. That's my jam.
Does that count?
Sure. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Wait, so remind me what your Harry Potter tattoo is. I want to know.
My little secret.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
I was
it's,
like, you don't have
no,
to show
not,
it to
it's
us.
It's not that exciting. It's the Deathly Hallows.
Oh, okay, that's what I was thinking of getting. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like kind of discreet and ambiguous because not everyone knows what that symbol is. So
I will say that my cat, who is no longer with us, his name was Dobby.
Aww.
So I am with you in your fandom.
I often make fun of my dog over there because she acts like Dobby.
Does she take socks from you?
She does. Both of my dogs actually like to like lay on my clothes, which is weird. But she just has like this Dobby energy.
Yeah. Are you excited for this new series that's happening that's like Harry Potter?
I don't know.
Do you know anything about it being an agent? Do you have the inside scoop? Do you have people reading for it?
No, I think they're still a little early. They're trying to attach showrunners and stuff. But I don't know. I'm also kind of a purist. I don't like fan fiction and stuff like that. So I was very anti Harry Potter and the Cursed Child for a long time because I was like, oh, this is like fan fiction, but it's not. And I finally went and saw it and it's amazing.
It is.
It's so good, right?
Yeah, I saw it in New York right before COVID and it was amazing because I knew one of the girls in the cast. And then I saw it here, just an agent took me a couple months ago. And it's totally different because I think the one in New York, unless they've changed it over recent years and I just didn't realize, but like when the Dementors come out, it was clearly fabric, you know, like it was automated or I don't know. Here they have real dancers in it coming and like getting real close to you.
Do you see it in two parts or one?
Well, I just saw the first part here because it was just like a press night or whatnot. And I was like, I don't really want to go back for night two.
Because in New York, they combined it into one. Yeah. It's just one show now.
Oh, yeah. No, it's still two here. Yeah, that would be weird. They must cut out quite a bit for it to be one then.
Yeah, I mean, it's still long, but yeah, they did cut out a bit. But it's still really good. And Jessica, if you haven't seen it, it's so good because it's like seeing old friends.
Yeah, I know. So this is now a number of years ago now, before my second to last time in London, I went to go on a press night that one of the agents in the UK had invited me to, but I could only stay for the first half. So I only saw the first night and then I still have never seen the second.
Next time.
I know. I'll have to do a recap, like first and second back to back. But I do agree. Like it was just really nice to be in the world again and spend time with those characters. So yeah, I will appreciate it for what it was.
I'm really impressed too by the magic they can do on set, like or on stage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were multiple times as a grown woman that I was like, oh, how did they do that?
It's impressive.
Yeah. This is completely left of what we've just been talking about, but I got struck with it. Obviously, there's been such a mass exodus within the agency side of things. I'm just so curious because obviously now there's so many managers. I'm just so curious on how that's changed the dynamic or landscape of the industry for you guys, or is this for you agent forever and ever, or do you see a manager side down the road?
Gosh, look, I never say never. I always like to say yes to every opportunity. So you never know what's going to happen. That being said, I really love being an agent and I don't see that changing anytime soon. But what is interesting just about the way things have changed in the last couple of years, I mean, back in the day, I'm talking like back, there was a much more clear delineation between what managers do and what agents do. And that line has become increasingly blurred, I think, over the years. So now with so many agents becoming managers, it's interesting because they're still kind of acting like agents, which is fine. But, you know, it's just interesting because every manager I work with works very differently.
Yeah, I don't really love it, honestly. We've all known that, like, especially at the big three, like the agents are agents. Like you don't go to them for developmental stuff, like, or to get a gauge on what somebody wants to do. And when we had that, what is it? Is it Range or Verve or one of them that all the CAA guys went and started? It's like, you still can't get in touch with any of them. I was like, well, what was the point of this, guys?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. I mean, obviously agents are licensed and franchised by the union, whereas managers aren't. So they have a lot more freedom to, you know, produce and do whatever they want, whereas we really are ruled and regulated by the union.
Do you see like actors being more open to you then in that respect of, I guess, maybe like the people who have left to become managers, what happens to those clients? Do they just go and just sign with that manager, or that does that open kind of a new world of where then you can come on as an agent for some of them, or no?
Yeah, I mean, no, I think it's totally different person to person. Every case is different. I see a lot of people now who are in a situation like that where they now have two managers and kind of playing that scenario out. There's no one size fits all solution to every actor. And I think we're in such a human business, right? We're dealing with people's feelings and emotions and loyalties and just, you know, relationships are the most key thing in this business. So when you're with a rep that you love and trust and have a great rapport with, you know, maybe that's two managers. Maybe that becomes just having an agent. Maybe that becomes just having a manager. So it's just hard to give one answer to that question, I guess. But I think the sort of like tried and true approach of having your team with, you know, your agent and your manager who are really working well together is still the best approach. Because like I said, we can do things that managers can't and managers can do things that we can't.
I just think it's so interesting. You said it's such a human business. And it, for me, it's been so fascinating. I think ever since COVID, the humanity is harder and harder to find. It's very sad. Everybody feels so disconnected. And I even talk about like within our own relationships of casting and agents, casting and managers. And it's like so hard to wrangle people and to like understand that we are trying to work in the same direction, like the sheer lack of respect I've been getting from agents. And it's like, I don't understand that it's like so short-sighted, especially with like our relationships, our long-term relationships between agents, managers, and casting. And I don't know if you've had this experience at all, but I just think all of these different relationships have become so disjointed. And I think it is a product of COVID, but I don't know if maybe I'm insular and just feeling it on my own.
Gosh. Yeah, I mean, yeah, COVID really rocked our world. People have gotten very used to being isolated, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't have the same human interactions that we once did. I think we're getting back to that for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been doing this for a pretty long time. Not as long as some, but, you know, a good amount of time. And I have seen in that time that the people that we work with come back into our lives in all different types of ways. You never know who you're going to meet again in a different capacity. And it's just so, I think, imperative to be kind to everyone that you work with and meet. You may not see eye to eye with everybody. You may not agree. You may ultimately have to do things that are not what the other person wants you to do. Well, we are all working towards the same goal. We all want our clients to succeed. We want the best possible outcomes to happen with a film or what have you. But I just don't think there's ever any reason to be mean or cruel to anyone. I don't know. Maybe that's naive.
No, it's not at all naive. I think there are just fewer subscribers of that way of life these days, which is unfortunate. But I'm always happy to hear the people that want to be here for the good of it, not for the chaos.
Yeah, we're all here because we love this art, right? And we are all humans. Like, we're all going through Lord knows what.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people forget that, like, we all have bad days. So, like, even one little thing can happen. And then, I don't know, recently I feel like people just refuse to apologize. And it's like, all you have to do is come to me and say, oh gosh, so sorry I wrote that. You know, I mean, I was talking to somebody today who literally was just like, I know I came across on this email kind of like a dick, but I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean it to be that way. And I was like, well, I'm glad you called to like say it this way. And I think that's lost. I think people almost like double down just to prove that they think there were something after COVID. Because I do think we keep reading about the contraction and all the jobs kind of going and everyone's more desperate. But instead of what to me is more natural, like, okay, I'm going to be more authentic. I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to be nicer to everybody. People somehow double down on being a jerk. And it's like, that's what will put me ahead. And I don't understand it. But I'm seeing it become very prevalent in our little industry.
Yeah. I mean, like, Lord knows I've said things in haste that I regret and I always try to apologize. But I do think I think you're totally right. There's a lot of fear out there right now because people are really unsure of where the industry is going.
This is a very sidestep of our conversation, but I got very distracted by all of your beautiful jewelry and I want to see it. Like, it's so pretty.
I know, I'm such a jewelry freak. And I play a lot with like mixing silvers and golds, but like most of these are really meaningful. Like, this is from sort of my like surrogate grandma. She's my grandma's best friend who passed recently. And she gave this to me. This one it's like a token of my dogs who passed away that my aunt gave to me. And this one is from my sister's wedding. It was like my bridesmaid gift. So, you know, they all have like little meanings. This is my birthstone that I've had since I was a baby and it fits, which is crazy.
Wow.
I always That's have a cool. handmade item. Like, I don't know. It's been my thing forever.
I wish I could pull that off. I have like super fat, chubby fingers.
No, I do too. So that's why I always I feel like I have to cover them because I don't like my fingers.
I literally just started like wearing jewelry again. And for me, it's like, I'm very conscientious about if it makes my fingers look pudgier than they are. So I'm just like, I'm always taking notes on everybody else's jewelry of like, oh, that looks so pretty.
Yeah, I do a lot of like layering, always have the nails done, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
While you're taking a drink, I want to know, because we're getting close to having to wrap up here, because we always are about improving and being better casting directors and trying to make sure that we're not like becoming stagnant. So would you mind sharing what your favorite thing about working with casting is, and then also what you don't like that we could get better at?
Not us personally, you know, just the field.
Yeah, I mean, this is just general. I mean, I know Jess and I are awesome. So like,
you guys are amazing. And honestly, my favorite casting director relationships are the ones that are like the most human, like where we are, you know, friends and can have real human conversations. I had, this was a couple of years ago now, I had a conversation with a casting director who I adore. I'm not going to say she's my favorite because I don't want to make everybody else jealous, but she's up there. She's incredible.
You can call her out if you'd like.
Yeah.
We like supporting other
Yes. Compliments are compliments for all of us.
Okay. I mean, I'm saying something nice, so hopefully she'll be okay with it. But Kelly Valentine Hendry, absolutely incredible casting director and person, was casting a pilot, and I had a client read for it who I thought was perfect. And she agreed, and he taped, everyone watched it. And she called me and said, you know, it's not gonna happen for him because of, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I said, you know, okay. But I feel like those are really tangible notes. And we just had like a really good heart to heart about it. And I said, you know, let me talk to him about this and have him redo it. Anyway, long story short, he redid it. She got it back in front of everybody and he got the job. But I just know that that would not have happened without her being honest and open with me and me being able to like take that, tell it to my client in a way that he was really able to make those changes, and her then taking that back in front of the team, which she didn't have to do. So that was amazing.
Oh, yeah. That's really
so
cool.
Like turning, you know, a not really into a yes is always amazing for an agent. But it's also just, again, like that trust that we have. If we didn't have that relationship, it wouldn't have happened. So having trust with casting directors, and I think, you know, you guys having trust with us is just amazing and makes the dream possible. And I guess that kind of is the same answer to what, you know, I feel like some casting directors could perhaps do better, is just be a little bit more open to having that conversation. Now, I know in this era of the self-tapes, people are drowning in work. I mean, I spoke to someone the other day who had like 500 self-tapes to watch, or 1,000. And wow. Like, you just can't do that. That's crazy. So I think that, I don't know what the solution is. You know, obviously we want all of our clients to be able to be considered for everything and to compete, but there has to be, I think, some kind of happy medium so that we are able to have those human conversations about these artists.
So how do you feel about like brutal honesty? Because...
But it's all about the delivery though, right? Something can be brutally honest, yeah, but put in a heart shape and delivered just the same as something that was really rough to hear, right?
Yeah, for me personally, I don't need anything to be sugarcoated. I would prefer brutal honesty over, you know, tiptoeing around something. I don't have time for that. I know you guys don't have time for that. So whatever, like, wastes the least amount of time, I'm all about that.
Because I'm not going to lie. There's one time where somebody sent me an awful self-tape. Like, it was a really bad self-tape to the point where I was like, I'm pretty sure you didn't watch this because I don't feel like you would have sent this to me. But he was going to, like, fight to his death over it. And he was just like, he needs to get in the room, or because it was like to move on to director sessions at that point. Finally had to be like, no, this was one of the worst self-tapes I've ever watched in my life. And then he was like, you're mean. You're like, I was like, I don't know what you want from me anymore.
Did he want you to lie to him? Like, maybe he did.
Exactly.
No, I appreciate honesty above everything.
We appreciate that about you.
It's helpful.
Okay. So last question we ask all our guests before we let them go is, if the world was ending tomorrow and you had one cocktail or drink to cheers the end of the world to, what would it be?
Oh my God, that's a really hard question. This is kind of basic, but God, I just love a pina colada.
Oh, next time you come to LA, let me know and I'm going to take you to a tiki bar in the valley that has the best pina coladas.
Yes. Pina colada.
Oh my, and they play that song on repeat. It's amazing.
I will love that place. Yes.
I'm not gonna lie, Sasha, I could totally just see you like laying on the beach drinking your pina coladas. The meteor comes down and destroys us all.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll be doing that this summer without a meteor. No. But yeah, but for now I'll just have my tea.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're always so grateful for
this
you
is so fun. I love you guys. This is so much fun. I know Jen and I have been talking about this forever. tour. I'm so glad we were finally able to do it.
Yes, and I can't wait for you to come back to London at some point and visit.
Me too. I hope I'll be back soon. Although that pub, I don't know.
Did you guys get wasted together? Is that what happened?
No, it was breakfast.
Yes.
Oh. Very interesting breakfast.
We've had fun, though. I took her to my favorite Greek restaurant, which I didn't even take you to, Jess. I think I might have pointed it out
to
you.
I'm offended.
I see London trips in our future.
Yes. I love it.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. And ladies, have a wonderful weekend. And cheers.
Cheers.